around the world. It's Mike from around the world. Mike, how you doing tonight?
Pastor Paul, God bless you. How do I sound?
Oh, man, you sound great tonight.
Good.
Oh,
okay, good.
We're
great.
Great. All right, Mike, we survived the eclipse.
Yes. But yeah, we did.
But I heard the comet didn't. What happened there?
Yeah, it disintegrated. The other, you know, you'd think they stopped naming things.
Okay.
What is wrong with them naming things? You know, you don't name a comet that. Of all things, that.
Well, do you think because they named it the Devil's Comet that was the reason it's gone? This thing came around every 71 years, Mike.
Now it's gone.
It's gone. don't give the devil his due. Be careful. So anyway, good point about it. Why would you name something the devil and you see what happens there?
Terrible. Hey, you know what? Something interesting about that eclipse, the line, the shadow of the eclipse, right?
Yeah.
It marked a real weather barrier. And right now are the effects that these storms that are forming went right up that line. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I you know what I did? And I thought, maybe that's just a coincidence. But are you saying there's something to this?
Well, I believe that eclipse was set at the dawn of time.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
That's one of the Lord's deals. And if you knew what was being discussed in Washington, you would say, yep, that's our father.
What's being discussed in Washington right now?
Well, first of all, you have a lot of, you got a lot of hatred towards the Jews, right?
Yeah.
They can say what they want to say publicly, but some of those guys are vicious behind closed doors. They are extremely vicious. And, you know, the Jews, people have their idea of the Jews. God blinded the Jews on purpose so that the gospel could go all around the world and he'll open their eyes when he gets ready. But all those who continue to curse them are cursed themselves. Mm. And they continue to do that.
Yeah, they do. And they don't know, or two, they know and they don't care, or they don't believe. And there's so much hatred toward the Jewish people. Plus,
they have a hatred, a deep hatred.
It's a deep hatred, and they believed a lot of this propaganda. And I'm not even talking about the lately propaganda, but I'm talking about propaganda going back all the way back to, you know, to Pike, go back to Hitler and Nazis. It just keep on going back and back and back. There's been a lot of stuff written anti-Semitic and hatred, and it's the devil, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll tell you something. When a person hates, when they have hatred in them, right? They use everything as an excuse to bolster that hatred. But when you have a person who does not have hatred, it doesn't matter what they read. You cannot tempt a person to hate anybody who has no hate in them. And so in this case, you have a lot of people. It's just being drawn out of them. They already hated. Israel and the Jews, right? They already hated that. They just needed an excuse to bring that forward. And if you think about a lot of things, that's exactly how it happens. You know, people bolster the hatred that's already exists within people.
Mike, you're talking about the Jews and Israel. We have to talk about Iran, I think. I mean, Iran,
yeah.
The planned attack, no doubt. Israel right now, I'm understanding, and you may have more, I'm sure you do, more updated, but the top U.S. commander of CENTCOM, General Corella, is in Israel. They're meeting 20 stories down in the earth at the major command center. He's probably got the war cabinet in there along with I do know that defense ministers, Gallant's in there, and maybe Netanyahu. Are they planning with Israel how to put defense strategies together, or are they planning to be proactive ahead of an Iranian strike?
They have to do both. First of all, Iran made a comment they haven't made ever, right? They said, we will directly hit you, right?
Yes.
They want to directly strike Israel.
Yes.
They've never used that language. Iran has had many threats against Israel, right? Threats. They called Benjamin Netanyahu a gangster. They said it would be removed. What's different this time is that their entire country has been put on alert.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Iran. People are actually being shuffled around. They know that people went to hardened structures. yesterday. And they have a, there's lots of, we, you know, we can, the U.S. can see everything. So satellite confirms preparations over there. Israel has to do the same. They have to, right? They also have to have an offensive. Iran promised that this would not be, it would not be an all, you know, engulfing war with the surrounding region. In fact, this morning they were talking to Saudi Arabia, they were talking to Turkey, they were talking to all these different, this, that was this morning. And so you know something is afoot. But here's what's disturbing.
Okay.
Over here in the USA, now they put out a report because there is a somewhat of a gag order. They don't want people in the USA getting upset. There's been a story of a person who has ties to ISIS that was found at the border, right? Now that's just one person out of, we talk about that all the time.
Okay.
But there can they, there's a gag order. They can't come out and just openly say anything they want to about that border anymore. Now the reason they did that is because they explained to the people that story. Anybody who reads that story, they're going to read that there was a breakdown between the FBI and the border guards, right?
Okay.
The so that was a breakdown, right? The FBI was not communicating with those at the border. This was one incident. Now we know we probably have 400,000 over here in the USA. Okay, but at least that's at minimal, and that's probably, you know, in the last I'd say the last 8 or 9 months. So
Are you
now you take that number back even further.
okay?
Right, take it back even further, because I believe that there are good people in the news agency who try to get around gag orders, and they're trying to let people know we have a serious problem. They're not going to hit Israel and leave us untouched, right? So there's CENTCOM, for example. CENTCOM, that's intelligence operations logistics, all that good stuff. But they're also tied to the vanguard of cyber defense, right? They've been very active, Pastor Paul. So they not only expect an attack on Israel, but they expect interruptions in our infrastructure.
Okay.
Okay, so people over here should also expect bad cyber
So
attacks.
you're
The way it was
saying,
said, they said bad cyber attacks. They've never said a bad cy all cyber attacks are bad. Why would this be bad? Why would they use that
well,
language? So
it means they're going to do something beyond the pale. They've been probing and probing and probing to see what they can get away with, but they must be going to try to do something very serious.
yeah, unfortunately, with cyber tactics, a person can accumulate all they need and sit on that, you know, for years, and then, you know, push the button, so to speak, when they need to. So they already know that at least 50% of American computers are compromised. They already know that. And what they'll end up doing is using standard computers against the infrastructure, right? They're not going to do it totally externally, which is why Microsoft and Apple and all these guys are working at breakneck speed getting all the updates. And a lot of people, they don't like getting the updates, right? Their systems are probably 100% compromised. They just won't know it yet. Iran does not want their identification or any of that. They want to use their computer to attack the USA.
Wow. So they want, because they want to be clear that they did it. You believe that that's it, that this is time for them. They've been hiding behind the proxies, even in their cyber attacks. They've been hiding, and they've got the Russians helping them. I mean, let's face it, the Russians are pretty good at these attacks,
They're
these
very
cyber.
good.
Yeah. So, is a strategy going on right now for World War III?
You bet. You bet. They know it's coming. They know it cannot be held back. Right now, it was described that in the Middle East, there's already a large-scale war underway, right? People can deny that all day, but the truth is, when you talk about lives lost from all countries, equipment, you know, to finance this war, there is already a large-scale war taking place. That is far beyond Israel and Hamas. We have to move, you know, every time something like this happens, that's billions of dollars in fuel that's going to be spent, right?
Right.
Aircraft carriers are fueling up. Planes have to be ready for a quick response in theater, this, that, and the other. And that's everybody. Even China is preparing themselves for this one. China has warned their people about this one.
Yeah.
Since this Iranian threat. So, you know, China is always on the verge of some sort of issue with their own people. Yeah, this is different.
Well, so I've got some information, and you can verify, or you don't have to, or maybe you can tell me more. I understand the 6th Fleet is there, pretty well in position. The 5th Fleet is on its way, and even the Dwight D. Eisenhower now is racing toward the region. So, you think this is all preventative, and or is there more than this? This is a lot of money to bring this much naval power into the area.
Well, they have a lot there already, right?
Okay.
But they also have to have air coverage. If they attack Iran, is a hardened place, right? Nobody has ever really directly hit Iran and just, you know, walked away without wounds. If they actually hit Iran, Pastor Paul, here's what's at stake.
Okay.
If they have to retaliate against Iran helping Israel out, right? First of all, if Iran attacks Israel, all Western countries are on the list. They cannot hit Israel, you know, just Israel. They can't do that. They already know they're going to have to overwhelm or hit the USA. That's going to bring us into a regional war. If anybody ever attacks Iran, the Middle East is going to split back to its faith-based cultures, which means all these other nations have already stated that if they ever get into a large regional war, right, they're going to side with the Islamic world against the Western world, period. Yeah. This is what they're really trying to avoid, right?
Yep.
And it looks like it's almost unavoidable. If that happens, they know that forces from all over the Middle East will go in and take Israel. Mm-hmm. That's already been on the table. They found this out with intelligence. So forget about the UN having Jerusalem on the chopping block right now. If this happens, they will take Israel. They will go in there and take it, right? Be a coalition of people. They will just go in there and take
it. You're talking the UN? You mean the UN will rally?
No, not the UN. We're talking about the entire Islamic world.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, they have been, Pastor, the communication between these countries has been incredibly high, right?
Yes.
This is why Iran is talking about direct strikes against Israel. Now, they will only say that if they have support of other nations, right?
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia has been talking to Iran. I don't like Saudi Arabia. You guys know that. Saudi Arabia, Jordan, they're all in a bad book for me.
You don't care much for Jordan either. Yeah, I was going
to
say.
No, because these guys, when it comes down to it, they're not Christian nations.
Yeah.
Right? And what they're going to do is they're going to side with their culture base,
right,
which is the same as Iran, and Iran will execute every single Christian in country when this happens.
Oh,
so it will turn into a bloodbath.
You're saying when this blows sky high, they'll just start executing Christians in Iran.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
It's a holy war. It's a holy war.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. See, that's what's at stake, and they know this. This is not some usual situation. This involves everybody. So everybody has to come to the table in this and get some things resolved quick. Because when this, you know, for Iran to have that language, that means they have support. They only use that language when they have other nations supporting them and backing them.
I see. Yeah. Then they feel emboldened then because they got.
That's right.
All right. Now, with this going on, and the United States moving all this military, Navy support in there, there's a lot of money involved just to maneuver, just to deploy, just to, you know, as you said earlier. But we're looking here at a situation when Iran took out that facility that's supposed to have been a consulate, and they killed the three leading generals and four officers, major officers of Iran. You know, that was a bold move for them to do that. Is it because they're playing the game already? That was their first chess move, and they're looking to make another one, and they're watching for, they want a response. I mean, what does this mean? They're fighting Hamas. They got Hezbollah sitting up there with thousands of rockets. They, you know, why would you go and smack them? I understand Iran's the one running the war, and there's no question that Iran's doing the war. But this, you had to have known there would be a response. Did they want this?
Benjamin Netanyahu knows of a greater threat dealing with Iran than the world has courage enough to admit. So he's not going to rest until Iran is totally subdued. Iran is a number one threat to Israel. Everything that's been happening to Israel, right, has been authored by Iran. All these attacks are proxies of Iran, right? So they pay them to do that. So long as Iran is in power the way it is, Israel will never have peace. He already knows that. He can fight Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis all day. That's not going to do anything. You have to go right for the snake's head, right? And so they're going to do that. That's where Benjamin Netanyahu's mind is. Unfortunately, right, if the world were behind him, he could certainly succeed. Here's the issue, though. It's going to look bad to do that, right? And because it's going to look bad, he's not going to get the international support needed. Although any other country out there would do the exact same thing if they knew what was at stake.
Yeah.
But they're not. And we all know how it's going to end up, right? Which is the Bible's your anchor, and it's my anchor too. And we know how things will end up. So having that in mind, we already know what the end result will be. We already know that. But unfortunately, Benjamin Netanyahu is not going to stop until he protects his people. And believe it or not, if right now, if Israel stopped everything they were doing, right? The Houthis and Hezbollah would wipe Israel out. They would attempt to wipe them out. The UN would seize Jerusalem, essentially. They would be disarmed, and they would be wiped out, and they would no longer be a people. That's what would happen. And, people around the world, they know this. Leaders know this. They're trying to sell a different idea to the people, to the populace, so that the populace is behind whatever plan they dream up. Need I remind everybody, just look at the honesty record of the UN. Look at the honesty record of all this rhetoric that's been happening for years. They haven't accomplished not one thing they said they were going to accomplish, right? Dealing with Israel.
That's
nothing
right.
has been accomplished.
No.
And so they don't have a very good track record concerning that. That's one of the reasons Russia was so upset with the UN, because he knows what they're trying to do to him.
Yeah.
It's essentially, Pasquale's essentially, you have a force that has grown, right? And this force wants control of resources all
yes.
over the world,
yes.
right? So
yes.
it wants to manage everybody's resources. Is the, you know, at the beginning of time, most mankind, all their hunting and gathering skill sets, all that stuff for 50,000 years was to gather food, right?
Yes.
Rome comes along, they build they gave the world how to produce, how to distribute, and how to manage food on a large scale. Then we get the industrial age, and we're blessed to go to a grocery store. But what's happening is, with these breakdowns like this, right, food is becoming scarce in certain places again. Well, that's causing a bit of hostilities. People are nervous about resources. And when they get nervous about resources, it's going to begin to upset the balance of power. This is what they're fighting over now, because they know what happens. If one country goes hungry, it's over. It's done for. That will escalate. And once it escalates, they're going to fight over resources yet again, as they have before. And when that happens, disease breaks out. When that happens, one nation, goes and attacks another for food. Whatever nation wins has to end up feeding the world, and everybody starves in the first place. And so they know what's about to happen. It's this revolving cycle we can't escape from. It just so happens, biblically, we can see what the blueprints are. These times coming out. So here we are.
Here we
in
are.
This time, and it's happening quick.
We really are. We really are. Mike, also the red heifer. there's 11 days to Passover, and I can tell you they want to sacrifice and burn the ashes of the red heifer between now and Passover. Really, they would love to do it Passover Day. But is part, I mean, look, face it, then the Hamas said the reason they attacked Israel on October 7th was these red heifers and the potential that this ceremony was going to happen. Is there any intel or any information you have that on the situation with the red heifers and its relationship to the rest of the Islamic world?
Well, that's a tight-lipped type thing, which has protection within itself, believe it or not. The elements of the temple that they have, right, believe it or not, are being highly protected. And the Mossad is doing a pretty good job at sealing the families, because there are families in charge of this.
Yes.
But, Pastor, they have selected everything. Everything is selected. Everything is selected. And once they get a property dispute out of the way, right, because everything has to be pointing in the right direction, certain lands have to be christened, so to speak, blessed, so to speak, certain things have to take place, they're ready to do that. I believe they're going to start moving forward with it because they have a type of protection they never had before. Nobody can say anything too much about that, but I believe they're going to go forward with it, whether we're in war or not, whether we have peace or not. They're going to go forward with
the ceremony,
with some of the major things of that temple. They're going to go forward with it. Yeah. They're going to do it. They're not playing. And if it's one thing of respect, I highly respect, and people should really understand this. The Jews right now, as a whole, the Jewish community, right? God blinded them for the sake of the Gentiles.
For us, yes.
But you look at the dedication of the Jews, right? Just God blinded them, so that means they can't really acknowledge the Messiah right now. But
right.
Pastor, look at their devotion.
Unbelievable.
Look at the steadfastness. Can you imagine who they would be if they identified the Messiah? Messiah already, my Lord, this world will be totally subdued. Well, just like God said, when their eyes are open again, there's a reestablishment of the kingdom period. But their devotion, even in the face of world global opposition, right, of threats, of real death, they still go forward by way of their heritage, by way of the word they have. They honor the word they have. It's an amazing thing. But when you're dealing with the temple, they're going to do in the absence of, you know, of course they have a blindness, but they're going forward with their last instructions given by the Almighty, right? Any one of us would do the same thing if we could not see. If God blinds you, you can't see certain things, you can't accept. And so you have to go forward with what you have. That's precisely what they're going to do. Precise, and God already knows they're going to do it. And it's, you know, there are certain things that have been put in place, and the Lord has his reasons, but they have everything. I mean, everything, including the, there are some American companies on standby. Now, that just happened this year. That
really?
Wasn't last year. Yeah. Well, there are some American companies on standby.
Standby
so.
For?
That's for construction,
okay.
For security and protection.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the temple, big time, just for the temple.
Yeah.
You're talking about a lot of coordination, a lot of money. Here's the deal, though. The equipment has already been shipped overseas.
Wow.
They already did that. They've been doing that since January, I believe. And so, yeah, so things really start going that direction. And if the Middle East has, if they have, if they're aware of this, to put it this way, if they are aware of this, then the Middle East being devoted to the Islamic faith is going to do everything they can to stop it.
Yeah. And they're aware of it. That's why I'm telling you, they're aware of it. Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, let's talk about something. The sun. We did talk about the comet dying, but the sun this morning had another major solar flare. It was an M-class 5.4. So we're going to get some CME again. We're going to get more pressure on the Earth. The sun is very volatile, and, you know, we've talked about it several times. Is Planet X or this binary system seemingly is causing the sun to really be active? Your thoughts on and Mount Etna is shooting off smoke rings, which is kind of wild. Well, what is your thought about this? These we seem to be seeing we've seen an uptick in the last 2 months of solar flares, M classes, X classes. I mean, we've definitely seen it.
Well, I hope that people have been paying attention, because first of all, we're quickly approaching the days, the weeks, I guess you could say, of some severe problems. For example, the sun, its solar cycle, it was supposed to peak in 2025.
Yes.
It's going to peak in 2024. It's going to do a double peak, actually, and then it's going to go through its pole flip, right?
Whoa!
It's doing all this is happening prematurely, so it's not happening in 2025.
Did you hear me say that that's going to be our webinar? Our webinar for next month, late May, is pole shift, okay? Pole shift planet X. So you're saying that the Earth's going to do a pole shift, or are you saying the sun's going to do a pole shift?
The sun. The sun is going to do it very...
What does that do?
Well, it's going to change it's kind of like changing the polarity of a battery, right? All females, all biology is going to be affected by this, especially women.
Okay.
But here's the problem. We're going through a double peak. 2024 is different than any other cycle we've ever been through. Okay. This is going to be hard to explain, so I'm not going to spend time, because people will not understand this, especially those who love science, right? In science, everybody believes that the sun is this big reactor, correct? It's a huge reactor just outputting, you know, energy, endless energy. That's what everybody believes. But there's something a bit different. And it threw me off too when I first, you know, learned of this. But the sun is actually processing energy it's receiving. And it's been doing that for a long time. In fact, all stars are doing it, right? They're processing energy. And they distribute that energy to everything else. So the sun receives a type of energy, and then it processes that energy, which is diffused back out to the planets and everything else. And of course, the planets do the same thing. They take the energy from the sun, and they diffuse it to life and to the atmosphere and everything else. The energy that the sun is receiving is soon to double. I mean, double, like too much power, right? Which happens from time, like having a battery that puts out too much voltage.
Yeah.
In some type circuit, everything is going to heat up. And so the sun is about to go through some changes nobody has ever observed before. Nobody. No scientists know anything. So anyway, that's that subject. So it's certainly going to have some changes. The sunspots are destined to increase. They're going to be up to a count probably, normally sunspots are in the around the 100 mark, right? Imagine 250 sunspots on the sun.
No, that's not good.
So just imagine that. They've already been gravitating towards poles to the center, to the equator of the sun, which is what they normally do, but that many sunspots is outrageous. That will be a telltale sign that some external energy is severely affecting it. Now, they know what that external energy is. They know what it is.
They know exactly what it is.
They know exactly what it is. But it can't be discussed, and the reason why is because it flies in the face of what most people understand. Most people believe in Darwinism.
Yeah.
Most people believe in the Big Bang, right? And every time you hear of a science paper that came forward telling everybody that the all these systems are coming close together, they're not separating. They're coming close together. Right. When they run the real numbers, all these galaxies and everything else are not getting further apart. They're coming closer together. They end up, you know, sanitizing those published papers. And so things are a bit different. Well, they're very different than what most people can comprehend. People are taught for safety reasons. People are taught so they can have open optimism in science. Right.
Okay.
Not all. I'm not saying science is a lie. It's just that certain theories are a blatant lie. And they do this so people have a comfort in it. So they'll keep it and it works. unfortunately, we've hit a time when all of it's going to start to break down. It's not going to make sense, and people are going to be very confused. As the sun changes, our atmosphere is going to change, right? The water is on the way already. It's on the way already.
What water? Are you serious? What water?
You know what? Back in 2015, I had a double ADL. A lot of people remember I was keeping track of atmospheric potential to hold moisture. I used to talk about that a lot, right?
Okay.
Nobody else was talking about that. And now a lot of people are going to start hearing about that. They're going to start hearing about it because they cannot hide it. They only talk about things when they cannot hide it.
Are you talking about atmospheric rivers? I mean, the moisture in the
air. That's included. That's included in it. But I named it or coined it a double ADL factor, right? And so the atmosphere right now has potential to hold, I believe, 5.5 times more moisture than it ever has before. So where it would hold, you know, say like 219 tons in a cloud, in a cumulonimbus, in a storm, you're looking at a factor, you know, well above that now. So it can actually flood an entire city. You know, a storm can flood an entire city. Pennsylvania, I believe tonight they announced a new category of flood warning, right? And it's a catastrophic warning is what it is, which means the rains that are about to fall are about to drop a foot of rain in one area.
If it does that in the Appalachian Mountains of Pennsylvania, we're going to have flash flooding like they've never seen before.
Well, the potential's there, and the floods are real, right? Here's the issue. They've already observed that in Texas. So they saw it in Texas twice, and it was isolated. So this new terminology is dealing with some of the new factors they had to factor in to some of the terms that meteorologists use. Because they're going to be, instead of a flood warning or flood watch, people are going to see something else. And what that means is, that means that whole place, like if somebody is under a catastrophic flood warning, right? What that means is there is no maybe. That means the town is about to be lost, which means federal funding is going to have to be called in for this. That means life is going to be lost too. And so FEMA gets, they get ready, right?
Right.
Pennsylvania has one of those watches for a small town right now. Or warning right
for
now,
tonight.
Catastrophic. So people have to leave. They have to get out of there.
Catastrophic.
Some people are stranded.
Flooding.
Some people right now are stranded because of 8 inches of rain that fell in less than an hour. And so they can't go anywhere. They're stranded. There are problems right now with these storms that are happening. This is only the first round. These storms are going to get a lot worse, a whole lot worse. So Texas, they're not done with the storms. Louisiana, all those places are not with the storms.
Mississippi.
The water is on the way. It's on the way. And the atmosphere cooled too
now,
much water.
Let me ask you. They're saying this is not El Nino year. And I saw where the Weather Channel last week made a major announcement that this was going to be the worst conditions for hurricanes and cyclones and typhoons in
the history of the world.
They did say the ocean temperatures are warmer. So is it this water holding up in the atmosphere? Is this what's causing it?
The atmosphere is changing. It's not the same. It's not what it used to be last year. It's not. The ocean temperatures are driving, right? So something is driving the processes of the earth. In turn, the oceans are heating up from underwater volcanic activity, right?
Okay.
They're really hot. That's causing more water to evaporate, right? Because we have atmospheric compression, which means a cumulonimbus does not have to be as high as it used to be to hold that much water. So everything is compressed and densities are much higher than normal. The atmosphere can hold a whole lot more water, right? So the average storm can drop 5 times more water than it used to. There are microbursts. Texas had 12 microbursts. Yesterday.
What's a microburst?
Right, 12. A microburst is what pilots hate, right? A microburst is when water, all of a sudden, water comes down on the ground. It's enough water to take the oxygen out of the air. It's almost like somebody dumping a bucket of water on you.
Okay.
The air pressure coming down is extreme, right? You're looking at possibly, I believe they said they had 78 mile an hour winds blowing straight down, right? You hardly ever hear
no,
that. That's a microburst.
No, no, no.
Yeah, that's a microburst.
Wait, it's not water. It's a microburst of air?
No, it's a water. It's a storm. A microburst is a storm that all of a sudden it releases everything.
78 miles an hour.
It releases wind. It releases hail. Wow. It releases rain.
Yeah.
And it's all going straight down. This is what pilots hate, you know, because if that ever hits an airport, it's going to do damage. You know, pilots have to avoid that stuff.
Yeah.
That can bring a plane out of the air. If microburst happens over an aircraft, that aircraft is going straight to the ground, right? They're going to lose altitude, and that's going to be the end of that. And so it just decimates anything below it. Well, they had 12, right? So when you start having these type phenomena, you know that the atmospheric conditions have altered, and they're not going back to normal. They're getting worse, and the water is going to be a lot hotter this year than it was last year, right? These storms are going to be outrageous.
Okay. So we have this. We have atmospheric compression. We have atmospheric rivers. We have way more water. We have straight line winds that are way more faster and stronger. More hail that are a lot bigger. Where the sun is way more active and it's a year ahead of time. And what about the meteors? What about the meteors? You know, you've talked about.
We're still on track. We can't avoid that.
Is it for May? Is it this year? Is it going to be starting in May, June, or what?
We'll have this. We're starting to have sprinkles, meaning, right, there is an actual uptick in the reports of people who have damaged property by these things. That's always on the rise. But we're about to hit the point where it will actually cause fires all over the place. So we'll have atmospheric breaches due to the composition of these things, right? But keep this in mind. You're looking at rocks coming inbound to this planet. If we had an incident in space that scared people to pieces, right?
Okay.
It scared the public. The Space Command knew about it. Air Force Command knew about it. But when you have satellites that can potentially collide because they're old.
Right.
They just told everybody this could cause a catastrophic effect on the surface of the planet. So what happens when a cluster of rocks comes in and it's going to hit those satellites? It's going to hit the surface of the Earth, but they're also going to hit the satellites.
Yeah, they will.
Think of what's going to happen. Then that means the stars of it's going to look like stars of heaven falling to the Earth.
The Bible says that's going to happen. It says it's going to be like a fig tree casting its untimely figs when it's shaking with a mighty wind.
And we put the objects up there.
Yeah, matter of fact, I think I did a video today. Was it today where they announced that a Russian satellite, just barely missed a NASA satellite. It missed it by 30 feet. You know how close that is? 30 feet. They said had they hit, it would have exploded both of them, and shards of metal, small shards of metal, will come racing onto the Earth. Like bullets at over 48,000 miles an hour, like bullets, pieces of metal, which obviously if they hit somebody, it's going to kill them. You know, it's going to do some, you know, and I'm thinking.
That's right.
So you're saying the meteors that's coming, there's no escaping them. And it's even going to be worse as we got satellites floating around over our heads.
That's right.
It's a double whammy.
They just told you that if the two satellites collided, what damage they could cause, right? Now they know full well. At the altitude those things are, if they would have collided, they would have taken 20 others with them.
I know. 20
or 30. It would have been a cascading event, right? So the surface of the Earth would have been in trouble. Now think of a day or two of meteorites coming into our, you know, right, hitting everything in the atmosphere or anything they can. Some of those satellites are not going to survive. You cannot maneuver those satellites out of the way of those sporadic projectiles, right? You can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do it. We don't have that technology.
So that's going to be bad. Plus, again, with all the mapping they have done of near-Earth asteroids and everything else, right, if you want to know what that constitutes, then all you have to do is walk outside and put your hand up, right, at arm's length and put one finger up. That finger covers a portion of the sky. That's the near Earth. That's everything they have mapped so far. And all the rest is not mapped.
What? No, wait a minute. Are you serious? I mean,
I'm serious.
So, well, that's nothing. That's like nothing.
That's nothing. That's all of the money they spent. All of what they're doing. All you have to do is hold your arm up, all the way up, and put your finger up. And what your finger covers is the area of the sky they have mapped. The rest is unmapped. And they're walking around with confidence like nothing can happen.
That's why they're building underground.
We're in trouble. This is why. And it's coming.
Yeah. You know, that's why they're building these massive underground complexes. And
cities. Because they already know, Pastor Paul. Yeah. They already know there's no way. That there's just no way they can find everything that's going to kill us. There's no way.
So this is why they're going to prepare to save the human race in their mind. In their mind. They're going to survive the apocalypse by bringing the best, the brightest, the most gifted, the most invited, most connected. We'll get to go down underground, and the rest of us will be up here, see how it shakes out.
That's right. Well, and you know what? Everybody keeps mentioning one name. If they mention one name, they have the affiliation wrong. This one name of one president, right? That's his responsibility. He's in charge of the lottery for who goes down there and who does not.
Do they think
he's doing something else? Oh, yeah. They think he's doing nothing on the top side of this planet.
Obama?
Let's put it that way.
Obama?
Nothing on the top side of this planet.
Oh, no. The drama.
He has nothing to do with anything on the top side of this planet. No. See, here's something people ought to understand right now. You're dealing with, you might as well call it a breakaway civilization. Right.
Well, that's what.
And what's left
yeah.
over? What's left over is on the surface of the earth and everything it entails and everybody it entails. There's a whole different gang, right? That has nothing to do with the economics, nothing to do with anything on the top side of this planet. I'm telling you that right now. It is separate. It is split, and it will never be put back together.
So when Jesus said these words, we're going to Revelation, sixth chapter of Revelation. And the Bible says in verse 12, and I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, ever bondman and ever free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? They're preparing for that day. Am I right? That's the day they're trying to survive? Is that the day?
Oh, absolutely, because the day of his wrath includes everything they're frightened of.
Right.
Everything. But make no mistake. I'll say it again. Those folks broke away some time ago. They broke away. They have nothing to do with what's left. Whatever's on the surface is the leftovers. It's everybody for himself. It is left.
So you're saying already there's massive distribution of food and water and medical supplies and everything.
Leadership. Everything.
That's why we got these clowns.
It's already split.
Is that why?
Thank you. Now you'll understand everything a little better, because everything on the top is leftovers. It's leftovers.
I mean, yeah.
Everything on top is leftovers.
Biden and Harris and Pelosi.
Everything on top is leftovers.
I mean,
anybody you see up top. Anybody you see up top, they're leftovers. They will not be going down. They're leftovers.
I'm glad I'm going up.
Right.
When Barack Obama and Michelle Obama said, when they go low, we go high? Or no, when they go, you know, it's the opposite. When you go low, we go high, okay?
Well, see that. Yeah, they don't know about a creator. Christians.
No.
All Christians have to remember is this. The Father created the earth, right? Everything that happens in this earth is for our deliverance. All of this is a process for us. So anything that God does is for us. Recognize the creator. They want to be their own creators. So, of course, they're going to hide, run, go tuck their legs and everything else, but they've split away. We'll be liberated. They will not. They already know it. They know it.
Okay, so we see what we got to do is we get so that now we're coming down to this. We got to prepare ourselves for such a time as this. No doubt about that. You know, this is day 777 of the war with Russia and Ukraine. Is there any end in sight in this?
I fear not.
No end.
I don't think so. Unless Ukraine gives up.
And they might. If everybody quits funding them, that might be when they say.
Well, they're trying to make them give up. That's part of the plan to make them give up, right?
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to do now. But either way, they're leftovers too. They're leftovers. It's going to be, Pastor, you know what happens? What will eventually happen is a type of lawlessness is coming. So if anybody prepares for anything, in addition with some of the atmospheric conditions, right, get ready for lawlessness. I can tell you right now, all the power is going back to the states, and states will dictate their own destiny. And that's where we're getting back. We're going to see a breakdown of most of what was tightly held together. They have washed their hands of it, and everything on the surface is leftovers. It is what's ever left behind. It's what we're seeing. And that's why now you can interpret that picture a different way. You can see exactly what's happening when you think in those terms.
Absolutely, and I do. And now I see everything in a different light, a different perspective. We kind of knew, but it's becoming more evident that nobody really cares about the border, or nobody cares about the Constitution. You're starting to see that. I mean, you see like the Supreme Court makes a ruling and the president just says, I'm going to do this anyway. It's like the Constitution don't matter, borders don't matter.
That's right.
So we're moving a whole lot further down the line. Mike, there was a guy, and I want to bring this up, in Trinidad. This guy was fine. Everybody said he was fine. He was living with this woman for 4 years. She had a little girl that was 4 years old. It wasn't his child. And neighbors said he was a great guy. Everybody said he's a really good guy. All of a sudden, he just snapped or something went wrong. We don't know. But his girlfriend said that he became violent. His different voices started coming out of him, different personalities and voices with different, total different voices. And then he got violent. And so she ran out of the house to run to the neighbors to call the police. He was destroying stuff in the house. And when the police got there, it was too late. She left the little girl behind. When he come back, the little girl was beheaded.
First of many more cases.
Is that going to?
That's going to happen all over the world.
Can you tell me why? I mean,
that's going to happen everywhere. It can happen because people, Pastor Paul, people have made a grave mistake. Now, for number one, a lot of people have played around with salvation, right?
Yeah.
They have entertained forces they don't understand. They have been pious in whatever they pursued in life, and they think that comes without consequences. This complacency that humanity has with evil, with anger, with killings, right? This is embedded into most culture. Video games are not passive. Video games are immersive. Uh-huh. And this is exactly the part of the personality a person has. But what a person has done was they have totally swept themselves of all beliefs. Of all what people believe in now is everything they believe in at the moment. They have no foundational belief of anything. They're swept clean, and whatever was kept back for a long time, humanity has invited them back in again. This alien topic, Pastor Paul.
Yeah.
When you have a lot of people going out there saying, "I want to see the lights," and they're interested in aliens. What they have truly done was open themselves up, and they're saying, come into me. Let me commune with you.
No.
Because when you have a desire to see the unknown, right, when it's not named, anything can come back, and we know it's not going to be good. And so people have opened themselves up to totally be taken over on the inside.
People were doing that during the eclipse. They were.
Well, it's good that everybody saw those folks out there having this emotional response.
Right.
And you know what? That was so deeply concerning and sad. And it's because everybody had an idea about the eclipse, right? Which is why the Father's word is so important to me. Well, I told you, I didn't feel anything about the eclipse at all, but these people worshiped. They had an emotional connection to something bigger than they were, and they were willing to accept anything at that moment. Well, again, Rich, everybody's looking for a portal.
I want to thank you, Rich, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Rich. Go ahead, Mike.
Everybody's looking for a portal or a gate, right?
Yeah.
Well, newsflash, a human being is a portal. A human being is a gate. All one has to do is open themselves up to what they cannot see in the spirit realm. And whatever wants to come will come and cohabitate with that person. A lot of people have done this. They have marked themselves for possession. They mark themselves for possession. They are complicit with the anger and the evil that they have inside them. There are more people right now who have bad attitudes, road rage. Do you think that's not normal
to
have
road rage? That's not normal. You're right.
The world tells people, hey, you'll get upset and aggravated. It's okay. No, it's not okay. Because if you're a Christian, you believe in Christ, you are to have the peace of Christ.
Yes.
Christ said, I leave my peace with you. But people are being complicit just to live without peace.
Yes.
They're irritated, annoyed, depressed. They deal with all these things. The Lord had asked us to be healed of it. And we have to ask. That's something we have to accept, ask for and accept. He's already put it in place. But you have a lot of people who have become complicit to live in a type of darkness with negativity, with attitudes and everything else. That is unnatural.
It really is unnatural. It's
unnatural.
It's against nature. It's against God's. Don't you see how much stuff though is going against nature, going against God's laws? I mean, it's insane. I could go on and on and on. We gotta be careful how to say it here on this channel, but there's so much going in the opposite direction than God intended. You wouldn't believe it.
God is love, right?
Right.
Yes, that's what the Bible says, God is love. For some reason, people think love is weak. Well, I'll tell you something. It is so easy to strike back at a person. You know, when a person does something to you, it's easy to strike back. It's one of the hardest things in the world to take that strike and still love that person, having an understanding that that person's compromised. That's very difficult. But the power of love is this. Where a person who would hit another person, right? If they see a person in danger, they're not going to run and go get that person. A person full of love will cast everything aside. They will commit themselves and say, I'm going to go help this person out, and nothing will stop me. Mothers know this when they get that child in the middle of the night, right? After they had the flu or something. Nothing can stop that mother from getting that child. That is the strength and the resolve of love itself. And instead of people utilizing this power of anger or of hatred to do anything, why won't they use the resolve of love to do it? See, that's unfamiliar to them, right?
Yeah.
Because when they use the resolve of love, then they're willing to sacrifice. They will accomplish anything they set their hands to do if they can put themselves in the place God said, hey, you show up here. Because God placed that path of love for us.
Yeah.
But for some reason, people believe the lie of the world saying love is weak.
It's love not. Is not weak. Love's the most powerful force on the earth.
Love is what fueled Christ to stay on the cross. Everybody else would have ran off.
Absolutely.
Love fueled souls. It certainly fueled Peter. You know, how can you be crucified and then you say, oops, stop, hang me upside down.
No,
you know, I know my arm is hanging off. Oh. I know I'm burnt to death and beat, but hang me upside down. I'm dishonoring my Lord. Nobody does that.
No.
What you have to overcome. Nobody does that. That takes the resolve.
You
got to
be 100% sold out to Jesus.
That's right.
You know for sure.
Right.
You know that you know that you know that you know.
That's right.
There is no plan B.
That's right.
I can tell you, my life, I'm living it for Jesus. There is no plan B.
No backup plan.
When you got the best, forget the rest. You know, Mike, when you got the best, forget the rest. There is no backup plan.
That's right.
And if you have a backup plan, you don't have the man. You can't have a backup plan and have the man Jesus Christ. You got to trust him all the way, right?
That's right. A lot of these people, Pastor, they haven't. They've been operating under a different power, and they have been loving it. And that power is just coming to get its property. And that's demonic possession all over the world. I believe that's the first of many cases we're going to see.
Wow.
We're going to see that. But not one believer is going to be touched.
Amen.
Because not one demon has power over the weakest Christian.
Amen. Amen to that. Oh, one last thing before you go. The woolly mammoth is coming back. Did you see this where they're taking the DNA of the woolly mammoth and they're putting it with an elephant? A Tasmanian
Pastor,
tiger. What's going to happen?
Article 2008, Alaska woolly mammoth, right?
Yeah.
Tusks.
Yep.
Dated to only be 50 years old.
Huh?
In other words, these guys, they're doing things they have no business doing.
It's been going on. Here's,
you're going to read about this article. You ready? You're going to read about. Everybody's going to hear about something in China.
I'm ready.
China has developed some sort of a thing, right? That's a dragon about the size of a big lion. It's real. Okay.
What?
It has a birdish type head. I don't know if it flies, but it has wings. People are going to hear about that.
Wings.
It is black, white. It's black, white, and a tannish color. And it's real. It's not fake. Also, they didn't stop there, because China discovered a place that was totally isolated from everything. Kind of like Madagascar was before human beings got there, right? And the diversity of life that was there. Well, China has uncovered a cavern system, right? Kind of like in Mexico, right? That has trees. Grass. The one in Mexico has 100-foot tall trees, right?
What?
This one has grass that's bigger than you are, bigger than I am. Can you imagine a blade of grass bigger than you and me? That's humongous.
No, that's insane.
And huge bugs, huge everything is in China. It takes some equipment to get down in there, because the hole to access it, right, is quite tiny. And they found this place by rescuing one of their own workers on a drill site or something out of a movie. But it's a real place, and people are going to know about that. And that will further bolster China in on the world stage as being this place of wonder.
Did
because
they
people
create
look at
this?
China as a place of wonder. No, they didn't. They
God. It's God's place, right?
Yeah, they didn't create it. They just found it. And according to them, and according to some folks who are over here in prestige positions, there are extinct life forms down there. You know, nothing from outer space, everything that used to live here, but some big specimens down there, huge specimens. And the only word they had was, we got it totally wrong. We just got it totally wrong. Because everything down there, they said, it just kept continuing. But what we think things look like, we got that totally wrong. That's what the word came back. But that'll be that. The whole world will know about that. The whole world will know.
Bugs as big as me?
Well, just big bugs, big blades of grass.
As big as me?
As big as we are. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Can you imagine 7.5-foot blade of grass is 7.5 feet tall, right?
Yeah.
And about 2.5 feet wide, right? That's pretty big for a blade of grass, for a type of grass.
So we're going to hear about this, right? I mean, you're saying this is going
to... Oh, the whole world's going to hear about it. Yeah, the whole world's going to hear about it. Yeah, they're going to hear about it.
Okay, I'll deal with that when we get to that, Mike. It's enough tonight. I can't deal with them. I can't deal with no more, Mike. I just can't. What else you want to tell me? What are we going to talk about next week? Is there any something between now and
the weather? Weather and war.
Weather and war.
Yeah, we'll probably have a couple of CMEs. Expect solar activity to go on another. It won't be on a hiatus. We're going to have some more active pulses come through, and so the sun will certainly react.
Weather, war, and CMEs headed our way. Mike, appreciate you coming on tonight. It's really great information. It gives us a lot to pray about. It also is a lot of confirmation from the Bible we learned here tonight. So praying for the, of course, the peace of Jerusalem. We're praying that, you know, somehow, some way, war would end. But look, at the end of the day, it's coming that we need Jesus, don't we?
It is. Oh, Pastor, I forgot something. One last thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody knows I'm talking about the water event, right?
Yes.
The bugs come out in May or early June, right? We already have two collapses in the South and North Pole. So those collapses are going to translate into water problems around May, June, and July.
We're going to talk about weather, war.
Yeah, we'll
water.
Talk about that more. We'll talk about that water more because it's almost like everything is melting much faster than you remember. I told you about that the one ice sheet that was held up by a very small layer of ice.
Yes,
it is being held up now. Right, it's almost totally collapsed. It's floating right now.
Okay.
But that's only going to last for another month and a half. And that's the end of that. It's broken off. It's starting to break off already.
It's a huge
ice
sheet.
It's already starting. Oh yeah, it's already starting. So that's happened. I expect more breaks have happened. Okay. And that's matter. It is the once it breaks, it's going to slide down. Shift.
Okay, Heidi's got something. She's brought me right now. She says, "Paul, here's a massive water disturbance." Deep in the southern hemisphere of Earth. Do you know about that?
Yeah, well, we'll hit that up. We'll talk about more of that this week. They're going to try and explain that, right?
Yeah, All right, so next week we're going to talk about weather, water, and war.
Did they say it was causing a 40-foot wave?
Is it a 40-foot wave?
Waves are recorded.
We don't. Just got this info. We haven't watched the video on the explanation, so I'll have to do that. Don't know.
We have 40-foot
wave. Wait a minute. Wait. Where?
I'm just saying. Are they saying anything about a 40-foot wave?
Not what I see right there. I'd have to go through it and see. No, I don't know. We'll talk about next week. Weather, water, and war, and then throw the sun in there, and we'll see what shakes out. 80-foot wave, someone just said. Someone said 80-foot wave. 80-foot. You're saying 40 feet. Okay.
40. Yeah, 40 and very wide, probably about the length of a continent. 40-foot wave.
That's a tsunami. That's a gigantic.
That's what I'm looking for.
That's beyond.
80-foot would be more compact. So that's not the break I'm looking for.
Okay. So you're looking for the break of the ice sheet.
Yeah. 40-foot is something totally different. 40-foot and very expansive is something totally different. In this case, the height of it, if it's 85 or above, that means it's much too localized. We're not talking about something localized. We're talking about something with global coverage. And so, 40-foot wave, people can look forward to that one coming.
We'll talk next week. Mike, thank you for coming on being with us tonight. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Pastor Paul, God bless you.
God bless
it's always
you.
An honor.
God bless All you, right. Mike. The honor's mine. God bless.